Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
So today we continue our studies from the book of Jonah. We've already done the chapter 1 that talked about running away from God. We came to chapter 2, that is running to God. And today we are on the chapter 3, and likely to add the chapter 4, that's running to God. Running with God. So, in the chapter 1, we see the word of God coming to Jonah that he should take a message to the people of Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? He turned away from God's direction or God's leading. And then he decided to head towards Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. He took a ship and then a storm arose. In the middle of their journey. So Jonah was thrown away. Just a recap for the people who were not here. And then Jonah ends up in the belly of the whale in chapter 2. And he cries out to God. He repented of what he had done. He acknowledged that it was probably God who had led him in there. And so he ran back to God through prayer. And God heard his prayer. And what did God do? He allowed the whale to bring out Jonah at nowhere other than Nineveh, the shores of Nineveh, the seas of Nineveh. And so Jonah ends up finally in the city where he's running away from. And that's what we are looking at today, running with God. Please let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we are here to listen to you. Please speak to us, Lord. Speak to each and every individual seated here. Each and every individual who will hear the sound of my voice. Let your message, like a two-edged sharp sword, pierce into them, pruning everything that is not of you, and shaping that which is of you, to reflect more of you. So just have your way in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, Jonah enters a message, and as Alana read, enters Nineveh with a simple message.
Yeah.
A very simple message, which we read in the verse 4, saying, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. Some of the translation says 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That was all he said. 40, just from one station to the other or from one end to the other, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And when the people heard this, scripture says that they believed God. That amazes me a bit, because I thought they would believe what Jonah is saying, or it will say they believed Jonah. But they knew Jonah was a prophet of God. And so they believed God. They believed that in 40 days, their city was going to be destroyed. And so what do? They immediately, it didn't take a day or two. They didn't have to sit down to think about it or ponder over it. They just decided to let it all go. They repented of their sins. And the reason why we know they repented is that they wore sackcloth. And in their their lifestyle, what they do when they wear sackcloth is that it signifies mourning. It signifies that they are mourning. That's what happens in their custom when they wear sackcloth. So it signifies that they were mourning for their sins. They were mourning for the disaster that was going to come upon them. They all changed. And not only did they wear their sackcloth, they went the extra mile of fasting. Scripture says that from the greatest to the least, they all fasted. They all fasted. And when the word reached the king, these are the words of the king, "Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." So this was the king's decree when he heard it. So I believe that the king wasn't probably in the city of Nineveh. Maybe he found himself in another place. And when the word reached him, he immediately also removed all his garments, all his nice clothes that he was wearing, and he also put on sackcloth and sat in dust. That's what scripture says. And so what did God do? He forgave them. God just, he says, when God saw what they did, he turned from their evil ways. He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. God forgave them. God forgave them. I believe that Jonah didn't want to go into Nineveh because their sin was probably greater. They were serving idols. They were living a life of immorality. They were doing all sorts of things that were not pleasing to God. But just at the moment when they turned from their evil ways, when they recognized that they had sinned and fallen short of God's glory, they turned away from their sins and pleaded to God. And he forgave them. God forgave them. But unfortunately, Jonah in chapter 4 wasn't very happy about God forgiving the people of Nineveh. And sometimes we find ourselves in such situations as well. When you know that this particular person is living in sin, and for some reason the person is blessed so much, or the person just turns away and then becomes a Christian, sometimes you're a bit jealous, you know, because we probably haven't, quote and unquote, been that sinful. And I give the quotation marks because every sin is a sin. But we have decided to categorize some sins as greater, you know, and some sins as small. But every sin before God is a sin. And so Jonah got angry with God. He was so angry, he left the city of Nineveh, went to sit somewhere, and unfortunately for him, the sun was shining over him. So, what did God do? God, being all compassionate, being all loving, being all caring, and actually that's how Jonah describes him in chapter 4. He said, "I knew that you are gracious, you are compassionate, you are the God who is slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Beloved in Christ, this is the God we serve. If not, none of us would have been gathered here today. Because we have all sinned and we continue to sin. But just by the grace of God, just because God is compassionate with us, just because he's slow to anger when it comes to us, he spared us another day. He's forgiven us and brought us together to have fellowship with him today. But it went on to say that, so God provided a tree, a vine tree, to give shadow or shelter to Jonah under a tree. Thank you, Victor. And when that happened, Jonah was pleased. He was relaxed. He woke up the next day and then God had made a worm eat up all the tree. And so he didn't have any shade. And again, he was angry with God. And so God puts this question to him. You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Should I not be concerned, asks the Lord, about the United Kingdom? Should I not be concerned, God is asking us this morning, about Mansfield? Should I not be concerned? Let's narrow it down to our homes, about our individual families, about our family members, about our children. And the answer is that he is concerned. He is very, very much concerned. He is concerned about anybody who is perishing. He is concerned about anyone who has not yet heard the word of God or the good news, the gospel. God is concerned. And so this morning, what lesson do we learn from all of this being put together? The first one that comes out clearly to me is the fact that we serve a God of second chances. God only didn't give Jonah a second chance when he repented in the belly of the whale. But he also gave the people of Nineveh a second chance. We serve a God of second chances. So please, if you find yourself in any situations, the belly of the whale could be any predicament, because I don't think Jonah was comfortable in the belly of the whale. Any bad situation we find ourselves in, when we call on to God, scripture says he will answer. He will answer. The answer might not come yes immediately or no straightforward. God might be telling you to wait. For again, he says he knows the plans he has for us. He knows it all. He knows all our needs. He knows all our wants. He knows all our desires. He knows all our shortcomings, all our weaknesses. God knows it all. But in Isaiah 1:18, he says, come, let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. What is holding you up this morning from running with God? What is holding you up from running with God? Amen. Secondly, the people of Nineveh, when they repented, when they reasoned with the Lord, when they fasted and they prayed. Imagine our cats and dogs at home, our pets, fasting and praying for a revival in Mansfield community. I believe that is possible. That is possible. If we would only earnestly seek God and pray and bring this nation, bring this community, bring our homes before him, he will forgive our land.
he will. The second lesson we see here is that we don't have to withhold the good news from anyone. And when I say anyone, I mean anyone, irrespective of who the person is or how the character that we know the person has formed. You know, remember Paul, or let's go back to his past, Saul, who was persecuting the Jews, the early Christians. He went after them, scripture says, from one home to the other. What happened when he met with the Lord? He turned around and he became very useful in the hands of God. So don't see that person as a murderer and so he or she cannot receive God's message. Don't think that that family member of yours, that son, that daughter has gone too far away from coming to the mercies of God. Don't ever assume that, oh no, this neighbor of mine, they can never be Christians. It is possible. And all God needs us to do is to share the good news. Imagine if Jonah had still insisted on not going to Nineveh to preach the gospel or to give them God's message, God's warning. All these people, including the one, God says 120,000 people. I know there were more than that. Just these people did not even know their left from their right. They would have all perished. Is it difficult in this day and age? Yes. To share God's word with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family members? Yes. But again, scripture says in Romans 10:14 that if we do not tell them, how will they know? Some people genuinely do not know. And some even have an idea of what the gospel is about, but they don't understand. And so those of us who have come to the saving grace of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ should be willing, should be obedient, as we learned from the song. Should stop complaining, should stop murmuring, and should stop relaxing in our comfort zones, and rather start wailing and crying for our friends, our loved ones, our community, those who are perishing. Those who are perishing. It is possible, beloved in Christ. God's word can reach the deepest, the most toughest hardened hearts. It is possible. Has it happened before? Yes. And can it happen in our day? Yes. So please let us not keep quiet. Please let us not run away from taking the good news to the people that God is leading us to. And let us boldly, without fear or favor. The message can be simple. Jesus loves you. Please don't withhold the good news from anybody. The last thing that I would want us to consider is that we shouldn't seek our own comfort, as we see Jonah doing in the chapter 4, just enjoying his shade. And because God allowed the worm to eat up the shade, again he got angry. Actually, he said, I am angry enough to die. If I were God, I would have said, okay, die. Because God, through you, has saved a whole nation. Won't you be proud of that? But you see, our pride, our jealous hearts, our deceitful minds would want to see people perishing so that we alone would stand out, so that we alone will be called children of God. But God doesn't like it. he doesn't seek that anyone should perish. None. So please, let's leave our comfort zones. Yes, that person might insult you. They might even maybe harm you in a way. They might make you a bit uncomfortable when you share the gospel with them. They might look at you queer and say, what is wrong with her? But that is you leaving your comfort zone and seeking and running after the will of God, because you know that is the truth. You know you have the truth. So please, the entire nation is waiting on us, all of us gathered here today. This message is not coming out by chance. All of us gathered here today, the entire nation and even the world at large is waiting for us to take the gospel to. Our community, if you want to narrow it down, Mansfield community is waiting for us with the gospel, for us to take the gospel to them. In our neighborhoods, our neighbors, the next door neighbor, the opposite, the one adjacent to you, they're all waiting for us to take the gospel to them. And especially our families. God has not brought us together, I mean, within the nuclear family for fun. It's for a purpose. That's why he took me all the way to West Africa. And he placed you where he's placed you. So please, shine your light wherever you find yourself. Boldly proclaim the good news of God without fear or favor. And God, in his mercies, will see what you are doing, will heal our land, will heal our families, will heal our friends and loved ones. And when he comes again in his glory, all of us will enjoy eternal life with him.